You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Best Practice Show. My name is Kirk Barron. I'm your host. And today's episode is a crossover episode with Sully Sullivan. And some of you have seen him. And the first time I got to meet him was at the Hinman Dental Conference several years ago. And I loved it. I didn't even know who he was, didn't even know what it was about. And I just had a blast. And we were talking about systems and just a bunch of things that came up in relationship to, you know, different generations and how dentists think and what's important for success. So hope you enjoy the episode and we'll see you soon.
Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here are your hosts of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Holsinger, Dr. Payray, and Dr. Sully Sullivan.
All right, everybody, welcome back to The Millennial Dentist Podcast. Live, day two of Hinman. We are coming to the end here.
Hey, this is probably the last one today.
The good thing is
we're best for last.
We're at cocktail hour now.
Right.
So now, now I feel like I could go on all night, though.
You could.
Joining us, special guest, speaker at the Hinman. That's fantastic.
A big time speaker.
Oh, you guys.
Kirk, welcome to the podcast,
Kirk.
Man.
Yes.
And what's cool about Kirk's got a freaking own podcast, Best Practices Show.
Hey, I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm just making it up as we go.
How long have you been doing it?
We started last February.
February.
So we were about the exact same time.
I'm just making it up.
We are too.
32.
How many?
Best Practices
How many?
Show.
Best Practices Show.
We've done 120 shows or 129
Gosh,
shows.
How often?
We do them whenever we can because like, it's in the world of CE, I'm doing a lot of these things.
129.
Well, you're going to see, I'm not that smart. You should have smarter guests than me.
We did 46, typical millennial fashion.
I know, and I'm sweating over here.
Are you really?
Well, what's funny is we took, you know, in typical millennial fashion, Kirk, we took off July.
Yeah.
And we took off December. So we just took off 2 months.
Dude, that's
like,
the
well,
bomb.
This is good. So we'll just take it off for a couple months.
Well, you could be your own boss. Like, you know what I mean?
So, well, tell us what you do, man.
Okay, so.
Give me your journey.
How far back?
20 years ago. 20 years.
Well, I grew up in a little town. No.
Okay, fast forward to college.
All right, fast forward to college. No, I just, you know, I grew up, my parents were awesome, just hardworking, and I was a three-time employee of the month at Applebee's.
Like, good for you, man.
You know, things, I worked my way through college.
Dude, I was an employee of Arby's. Cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
Every time I drive by Applebee's, I go, kids, three times. They go, you are so weird. No, it was a great job for me because I learned how to serve people. I even go to Applebee's right now and the server will come in and I'll go, a three-time employee of the month. And they go, we don't care. But I learned how to serve people. And then I had two guys that would come in and they were in the lab business and they said, you'd be great working with dentists. I go, no, dentists are crazy.
They are.
And they go, no, come on in. And I loved it. Dentistry was awesome. And then got a unique opportunity working in some practice consulting situation. And at the age of 27, went to see Jerry Maguire. Mm-hmm. and thought I could do it on my own. So that's it. Here we are.
So, that was way too fast. Go back
okay,
now.
So you get into
consulting and that sort of thing. Tell us about your company, what you do.
Okay. So we have a consulting company called Act Dental. There's a lot of great consultants in dentistry. There really are. Dentistry is an amazing profession.
Because the reality is dentists need consulting.
Oh, my God. So much.
No, dentists are great.
We do a lot of things good. We do a lot of things really shitty.
Well, we need help.
I said it.
We need help.
Here's the thing. You go to dental school to learn how to do dentistry, and then you get out in the reality, you're like, wow, I got to run a business, and there's people attached to these teeth, and now I have to manage the emotions of all these women. And, you know, and it's the true fact is that you got to learn how to run a business. You just really
do. Yeah, you do.
People don't understand. Dentistry is the second best profession in the United States, according to U.S. News and World Report. There's no rules. You can practice wherever. Where do you practice?
Nashville, Tennessee.
Beautiful city.
Great city.
You can practice. You can go to hometown, big town, small town, any town. There's no rules. When you open up your practice, you can work whatever hours you want.
It's beautiful.
We have a lot of dentists that work 7 to 3 straight through now, straight eights. They don't take a lunch. They only work 4 days a week. They're not doing the crazy 7 to 7. Now, I'm not saying that's bad, but people do crazy stuff.
You get to do what you want to do.
You can do whatever you want to do. You can hire whoever you want, and you can fire
whoever you want.
You can go, this isn't working. Bye-bye. You know, so
it's just like Donald Trump now.
I know. Well, we don't even call it firing. We call it freeing up your future. Come on.
Oh, I like that. That's good. That was a pearl. Go ahead and drop that pearl right there.
Drop it here.
I borrowed that.
Man.
Nothing I do is original. It's all borrowed.
Dude, that all is mine too. That's the best part about it.
So how did you get into the consulting?
I don't know.
From the beginning, what was the motivation?
The motivation was this. I'll tell you, the turning point for me was I got involved. I had a dentist take me to a course. It was called How to Put Your Practice in the Top 10%. And I was 24 years old. He said, you're going to go see this dentist speak who's 64 for 3 days. Now, I'm like, I don't want to watch a dentist who's in their 60s talk. Because when you're 20, you got it all figured out. Then you turn 30 and you realize, wow, there's a lot I don't know. And then when you turn 40 and you raise a family, you're like, I don't know if I know anything. But the dentist's name was Dr. Peter Dawson. It changed my whole career.
Oh, nice. I might have heard of him.
Yeah. You can look him up.
Yeah.
He's probably one of the greatest influences on this amazing profession.
He would be considered one of the Mount Rushmores. My Mount Rushmore is getting kind of big, though. I've noticed.
Is it really?
No, it's not
like,
just
four
dentists.
Who's on your Mount Rushmore?
Carl Misch.
Yeah.
Pete Dawson. Pinky. Spear.
Christensen
this morning. Yeah. We should interview him.
Amazing.
That was a privilege.
Yep.
I realized my Tarnow is getting bigger. Yeah, and then if I start Picos. Bringing in European people, Picos,
the thing is, your kids are become the average of the five people they hang around with most.
Yes.
And as adults, you got to be like hanging around with smart people. You
Amen.
Guys need to learn.
You got
I'm not
to,
that
God,
smart.
Seriously.
Like, I'm not
no,
that
you
smart.
No, you are smart in a way that dentists are not. Like, you know things that we need to know about. Like, the way that you see things is so a different perspective, and the vision and the way that you guys think, because that's what we need help the most.
So let's.
We don't know what we're doing
stupid.
Wrong.
We're stupid not to interview him and just completely try to extract all the free information.
I know,
let's go, man. Come
so
on.
Let's
game
talk
on,
about
game
this.
On.
Okay, so obviously our podcast is targeted at new graduates, young dentists, trying to figure out how to make it. We're millennials. And we're proud of it, by the way.
Which is awesome.
Being a millennial. Okay. Yep. So what are the things you see the biggest struggles with young dentists as associateships and new ownership? And how do we break down these barriers and deal with these issues?
Easy. A new dentist, if you're watching this, rule number one, stay away from dentists. Just stay away from all dentists. Okay. No, and I mean that in a tongue-in-cheek way, but the truth of it is that as a young dentist, you got to pick your neighborhood and mentally and emotionally. You got to get around great people that are going to influence your thinking, because your thinking goes bad, your business model goes really bad, because you're going to sit next to a dentist who goes, there's no good people out there. You're going to go, no, there's a lot of them. They're just not working in your office. And then people are going to go, you know, you got to work Saturdays to say goodbye to your kids and your family for a while and sign up for all the PPOs. And I'm like, that's dumb. You know, why would you do that? You are in the greatest profession ever. You got to surround yourself with people that think really well. In the old days, back when I got started, they had things called preceptorships, which means, you know, senior dentists would look
like
out
a mentorship.
For you. Yeah, they go, here, you're taking a course with me. You're going to read this book. You're going to come over to my office. I'm going to watch. You're going to watch how I do this so you don't make the same stupid mistakes today. But we don't have that anymore.
No.
Yeah.
What do you think that is?
Everyone's so busy, okay? The other thing, though, too, the speed of the world is moving fast. People don't think. The best dentists in the world are the best thinkers. They think really well. These can only go so far. Then when these are done, you're done. And you can't work any harder. You got to think better. You know,
well, and very rarely do you hear patients, if you think about it, okay, if we're basing our success off patients, you know, financial gain, more pay, you know, which is ultimately what makes a business successful.
Right.
But if you ask the patients, no patient is ever going to be like, man,
the prep of my crown was phenomenal.
It's
right?
beautiful. Look it's at that.
Yeah, look at, the, look at the way they beveled the size of leg. The reality is, like, these do only go so far.
They only go so far.
But what do we get educated on completely with nothing else in school?
Absolutely. So I'd say, number one, just be careful of who you hang around with. When you raise teenagers, you know how important that is. Number two is that when you open up your practice, you got to teach. We teach people how to treat us. You got to train patients to pay. You got to tell them when to come in. You can't let the inmates run the asylum, because what happens over time is you go, I hate this, right? So that would be number two. You got to effectively teach people how to treat you in a business. After this, tomorrow, I'm going to go to the airport. And I fly a lot. I'm not going to get to the airport and go, hey, guys, good to see you. I'm going to go around security. I'm going to get my own thing.
I'll check myself
good
in.
Good to see you. I'm going to get on the plane. They're going to, like, I don't care who you are. You're going to follow our system. The third thing is this, is that you got
to
start building
So let me go back to that, because that's a hard thing to do. Because
to what? Train people?
Well, not to train people, but like, so to take. Let me walk. So for instance, in my situation, one thing I walk into is like, yeah, I walk into a practice and like, I don't mind saying this, but like, you know, you have, let's just say my dad was good at a lot of things, but maybe one of those things that wasn't as good at was like managing the team and really doing that. And so then you have employees that have been there for 20, 30 years who are used to running the asylum, so to speak, not to quote Jerry Jones, I guess, but that are now doing that. And here we are, here I come in trying to be more of a leader or be more of an active leader, a hands-on leader. And that's held with, you know, I hit a wall there. How do I deal with that?
Oh, it's easy. Well, first of all, you're the problem.
Okay.
And I mean that in a loving way. Okay.
That's fine. Yeah.
Because the organization will never go above you. The second thing is this. I give every team member the benefit of the doubt. They just need really good training. And then when you get to a situation where people don't want to be trained. You know, I had a dentist come up to me and go, I've had somebody at my front office for 28 years. They'll never do any of this. I said to him, can you change the person? He said, no. I said, well, when you can't change the person, it's time to change the person. Every organization does it. I'm a big Green Bay Packer fan. They just let go of Jordy Nelson. Now, can I get mad? Jordy's production's going down. You have to constantly prune the organization in a good way.
That is a great example of that, as we do.
Let me add some perspective to this, student, because you guys find, okay, let's say you have a chairside assistant. I'm not saying you do, but let's say you have a chairside assistant that's just not doing it. How fast is your life changed when you find the right chairside assistant?
Oh, 100%. Immediately.
Boom. 1 minute, you go, where have you been my whole life? You find the right hygienist. She changes the oxygen in your ops. And you find the right administrative person. She changes the financial landscape of your whole life. She comes in and goes, these people have to pay. And they got to show up in time. Yeah, and like, your fees are going up.
No, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
But to my point, that's harder than... I mean,
it is
especially
hard.
For
it
ones
is.
That
wrong.
Have been emotionally invested in, like, for
right.
my instance, my dad.
Totally
it's like, well, you've been
an
employee for 25 years.
Right.
You've seen kids, families, deaths,
get it.
Everything. And that's
so
a
hard
thing
yes.
to do.
It
so.
Is hard, but you have to slowly change things. And the cool thing about a dental practice is that 6-month recare cycles are great. You can tell patients what's coming. Ms. Jones,
true.
We're going to be changing our hours next time. You could expect to see this. They come back, it's exactly like you told them it was going to be. And over the course of 3 decades, you now have a new practice. It's a whole different story. But life is too short. How old are you?
I agree.
How old are you?
29.
You're a puppy.
I know.
He's a
young. How old are
He's
you?
Young and dumb,
I'm
baby.
30.
Young and dumb.
I'm old enough to be both of your fathers.
You have kids like 15, 16?
I got three teenage daughters. I can't believe I just said that. 750. They're amazing. And I have a son who's 10. But you have three full decades in front of it. You have three full
if
decades.
If I have three full decades, I got to get out.
Oh,
no.
You know?
No, but you're right. Yeah.
But the thing is that people will respect your rules. You got to come up with your rules for success. Now, the thing you have to
How do you
also,
come up with the best rules?
You make it,
America.
But how do you know?
Wait. Is this America?
It is.
It is America. It's the greatest
States,
country.
This is
you know what's so cool about America? If you try something, it doesn't work. What can you do?
You can do it differently.
You can do whatever you want. Now, the other thing about dentistry, do you have to work on this patient legally? Is it required by law that you... No. Some people are crazy. Now, when you're your age, you're going to go, I can help you.
Oh, gosh.
When
you
get older, you go, ladies, you got problems no one can fix. Okay?
Yeah, 100%.
You don't have to take care of crazy people.
That's a good point.
The other thing is, crazy people don't know they're crazy. They don't know they're crazy. And you don't have to invite them in your practice. And the other thing, I got hundreds of hours of this. We got to do many of these. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
I have so many. You can't fall
I know. We haven't even got a number three.
There's the seven most expensive words in business. You know what they are, right?
Money, 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 money.
No, the seven most expensive words in business are that's the way we've always done it.
Oh, that's the worst.
That's the worst phrase. Yes. Why do you guys do it? That's the way we've always done it. You can't do that. Like, that's a dumb reason to do anything. Every company knows, every practice. We got to get better. We got to get better. That was an old way of doing. We don't do evening hours now. The other thing, too, is you don't tell patients what you can't do. You tell them what you can do, you know? So, I don't know.
That's a great one. Gosh.
Well, what about the reviews? Like, if the, like, for example, like the reviews for Like, if you think of, for example, dismissing a patient or telling a patient, "Hey, we're not going to do this anymore."
And they go
even
blast
though
you on
his dad Google. Has been doing it for 20 years, and he's going to come in and be like, "No, this is going to change."
Right.
How is he going to treat, or those patients going to go and badmouth his office now that he's over? And what do you do with
that?
Well,
you don't have to be. You don't have to be coarse with patients. You don't have to kick them out of your office. I think the biggest problem is just stop stalking crazy people. When someone's crazy, go, "It's so good to see you. Bye-bye." Now, my favorite hygienist will go to the doctor. They'll go, "Okay, I got two crazies. Can I set them free today?" And the doctor will go, "Yeah." And they'll walk them up to the front. They'll go, "Have a great summer." And the patient will go, "I'm getting out of here without an appointment." And if the patient persists, you can go, "You're good."
Yeah, you look fine.
Go do your thing, you know?
No, that's
I don't know. Like, no, this is the greatest country in the world. You don't have to, but you also don't have to kick them out in a place where they feel bad.
Yeah.
Because if you make me feel bad, I'm going to make you feel bad. And now we're both going to feel bad because I'm going to keep making you feel bad.
Well, and the reality is us trying to make that patient happy or deal with that patient is only going to cause more problems and more time.
No.
We'll lose us money.
And I'll tell you, everything comes back to structure. People love structure. They love to know what to expect. The only
Hygiene. Gosh.
Especially in hygiene. If you tell me it's an hour appointment, you can't keep me for an hour 15. I'm mad. Okay.
That's true.
You know, but if it's an hour and you get me out in 55 minutes, I'm happy. It's super simple. You can build a whole practice just by being on time.
No, you're really right.
You can. These are simple little things. And the other thing too, I'll just say this. You as a dentist, you don't have time to train your team. You know, you don't have time. These people need the training though, because the better the trained they are, the more they can take the biggest problems and go, "Ooh, that's a good question. Let me help you understand why our office is different." So it's good.
Well,
stuff.
And we hire CPAs, we hire accountants, we have lawyers, we have financial advisors. Aren't we bringing in people to? I mean, we go take hundreds of hours of CE. Why aren't we doing that with our teams?
Oh yeah, well, because, and I had a dentist from New York go, "I would never take my team to this stuff. Are you kidding? Because I'd have to fly them out here. I'd have to pay for hotels. You know how much money that would. What if I pay for all this stuff and they leave? I go, what if they don't and they stay?
Yeah, it's classic. Yeah,
you know what I mean, like. You got to make the investment. Now, the other thing, too, when you're coming to him in a great meeting like this, you're making a major statement. I value you. I value you. We're going to sit up front. We're going to make an investment. We're going to get better as a team. When the dentist disappears, they go to a course. They're great courses. They come back all fired up. And everybody in the team goes, "Okay, just give him until Tuesday."
Right, exactly. Yeah.
He's got the eyeballs going this way. Right. He'll be back to normal by Wednesday.
Well, and we've seen that that's what's happened. But then when we see what's cool is when I bring my team here, we're sitting over here.
It's true, man.
I know what
it is. True. I mean, we could do a whole comedy show in an office. Go, "Watch this. Watch. He doesn't know the patient's name.
But what is?
And then I'll stop you in the middle of your day. I'll go, "What are you doing?" And you'll go, "I don't know."
That's true. What's neat about that, when you do that and you bring your team and they start getting engaged.
Yeah.
They'll be walking around here and they're like texting me, "Hey, come to booth 950.
Oh, absolutely.
We need this." And like, this is things like, and then when we go back on Monday, they're excited about it because they're telling us.
Right, they're the ones,
it's like they have ownership in it.
Right.
So like, it's a huge benefit and win for us to bring our teams to these.
Right. Talk about this. Consultants in a dental office, everybody's scared of them. Like everybody, not the dentist, but everybody else. They feel like their job is in jeopardy. They feel like there's going to be.
That's true. That is true.
So how do you approach, like as a dentist, like, I wanted to get a consultant. Because I just opened an office. And I'm like, I'm going to do this the best, perfect way. Now, how am I going to do this? Let's find the best consultant. So I started interviewing some.
Right.
And then as soon as I start talking, everybody's like, "Oh, what's going to happen? What are you doing wrong?" So
My phone never rang.
Classic.
No, it's a great question. It's a great question. No, because they're all the consultants are, and I know most all, they're all great.
Sure.
They're all, you just got to pick the right one for you. Okay, I am not everyone's consultant.
No, I get that. Yeah,
like you.
We're not everybody's podcast.
No, you're not. Yeah. And you're not everybody's dentist either. You gotta go. Hey, I like this. I like how this feels. I also will tell you, a good consultant can be the great buffer between you and a team. I have to have one. Well, I love
my
team.
Right. We need that.
Oh, yeah. My team is like, go speak somewhere because you're driving us crazy. You know what I mean? But then a good consultant could say something to the team and the team will go, that's awesome. And you go, oh my gosh, I've been saying that for like 6 years. My wife says it all the time. She's like, do you went to a course? I go, yeah. She goes, how much did it cost? And I'll go, it cost me. She goes, okay, so you flew all the way to Arizona. I've been telling you that for 10 years. You know, I could have told you that, right, saved you all that money.
But it's coming from someone else.
Yes. No, it's important. You got to pick the right one for you.
And then do you hire them for a year? Do you hire them a monthly way? Like, what's the best way of having a consultant?
Yeah, the best way to do it is, if you're going to do anything, you got to make a commitment.
For a new office or something that you want to change.
Are you going into offices?
We are. Now, you're going to see, I have coaches that do it better than I do. I am still the lead person. I do all the thinking at the top. But the bottom line is, somebody's got to get stuff done. We call it GST, get stuff done. You can use another word for the S, but we got to get it done. You got to get systems in place. We got to get people to pay. We got to do all those things. And those things, when they start to happen, the big thing is you feel more confident. Like every month you're like, wow, the practice is getting better. You know why? Because you're better. You're better as a team and all that type of stuff. So there's a lot of great ones out there. You got to pick the right one for you, but you can't just try it. No different than if I was going to train you guys and I'm going to be your trainer, I need you to show up in the morning.
Morning
I'm gonna
huddles.
Kick your butt. I'm going to make you do burpees. I'm going to make you do all these things you hate because you'll never do them. And then in 10 months, you're going to go, dude, I feel so good. But you got to keep your appointment.
Let's talk about that for a second. Morning huddles.
Morning huddles.
You believe morning huddles? And how do I make morning huddles effective and fun?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so the biggest problem in a morning huddle is who?
We are.
You are. You can't be late for a huddle because whenever you're late, it screams, I don't care.
I get that.
You have every
excuse. Right. So I'm on time. So say I'm on time.
So if you have to be on time. You've got to be prepared. You got to be ready to go because it makes a huge statement. Like, this is very important.
I feel like, frankly, I think our generation's way better about that. I think that's more of an older generation that doesn't.
That's true.
I think our generation's a lot more engaged and we're trying to do it.
Right.
We just get pushback. I think the 50 and up crowd is the one that's not showing up, that doesn't care. That's what
I think. You're right. I think you're right. You know, that is a pretty strong statement because it is true. There are a lot of young dentists. They get this. You know, the other thing too.
But we're shitty about implementing it though. Like, but then I feel like
that's true.
That's where I hit the walls. Like, I show up and then I'm like, now what?
You know, and everybody talks about the debt. The truth of it is, a dentist buying a dental practice can't screw up. Like, there's so much pressure. Like, you got $500,000 worth of debt. It cost me $500,000 or $1 million for this practice. Now you
plus
need
my
some ROI.
$500,000 in student loans.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Coming, yeah. And now you got to buy a home. You got to buy all these other things because you don't want anybody to think you're not successful.
Right.
You know, so you got a lot of pressure and you can't do what older dentists used to do, which is they could be lazy a little bit and you can't. Now you got to do it the right way. And with the competition now in the world, there's so much room. You just got to be good. You got to be better every single year.
So what do you have? What's the doctor's role and what's like the team's role in a morning huddle? I mean, are you trying to have them engage and them?
Everybody's got to have a role in the morning huddle. You know, the thing is you've got to have a regular system where you're talking about what's going to happen today. I have one big rule. Don't ever start a day before it's complete on paper. You know, it's all got to be complete. Here's what's going to happen. You can also make adjustments. You can call audibles. Your team members are going to go, hey, look, we got two people that owe us money. I'm asking them for money at the beginning of the appointment. Bring them up to the front and see how we can get all this done before it happens. You know, the other thing you got to do is you got to put a sign up at the front that tells patients, have a seat, because we'll be with you in a second, because the person that's missing the huddle often is the administrative team member, because she's greeting the patient at the front. She's so worried. She's got to take the coat. She's got to get the coffee. We're talking about all the things that we're going to do, and the most important person of the equation is up there. Patients come in. They can read the sign. They can help themselves. You can get what you need to get done, and now we can get some things happening. So the huddles, you can't find a professional sports organization that doesn't huddle. Even pro golfers, you can throw. If you ever go watch pro golfer, man, it's so methodic before they do the same thing.
Oh, gosh.
Every
question.
Time.
Now, if you go to every dental office is set different. The culture is different. The owner is different. Everybody's different. Now, how do you, as a consultant, when you try to examine an office, how much does it or how long does it take you to understand the culture that exists? And then how long does it take for you to try to wrap it and try to improve the system? For example, meaning like his office is very, very different than my office. And my office is very different than Ashish's and other people's. Like, how do you determine that? Because like, okay, so for a consultant, this is my thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to be a cook. What he's getting at is he's saying, look, I'm a niche practice. I'm or not
different
a practices. GP practice. Oh, yeah. I don't like, rely on hygiene. I don't want to rely on hygiene. I
don't
want to
do this.
How does a consultant, right. Are you still going to be effective for me when I'm a company?
Absolutely. That's the best part.
I
don't want the cookie cutter approach.
Like, I don't want to rely on hygiene to produce me. I think it's a loss leader. I want to think bigger. We're doing bigger things. I'm not doing the way dentistry's been done for the last 30 years. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I want to talk about, I don't want the system, because a lot of consultants are like, oh, well, this is how I do it, right?
Yes.
And that's what I hate to hear.
No. First of all.
Good point.
Yeah. First of all, that is the
getting fired up over here.
First of all,
where's our drinks? First of all,
I didn't look at it.
You ordered me a beer.
You're kidding me?
I did order a beer.
What kind of restaurant is this?
I know.
What's funny is that was my team, and I'm kind of wondering, my team is drinking our drinks over there.
Where do they go? Milwaukee?
We're gonna have to have some consultations with my team as to far as where the freaking drinks are.
No. Okay, cool. You're asking the best question ever. I would say this: are your practices broken?
No.
Nobody's practice is broken. A lot of practices are good. They just need to be a little bit better.
I would have said broken.
Well,
we have a phenomenal excessive practice, but I would have said broken.
Right.
What is broken?
Well,
I mean, how much would it say?
Here would be broken. Broken would be cancellations galore.
Don't bother me. I'm not texting. I'm not just trying. I'm not ignoring
you. Disengaged.
I'm not disengaged.
You are the millennial disengaged.
I'm trying to find our beer.
Oh, whatever. Okay.
I'm trying to find our beer.
So, disengaged. Uber Eats? What are you doing?
Are you talking? Okay. So, are you guys also involved with financial production, collection, how much you got to do, this and that? And
Well, yes. Now, all that stuff is pretty easy once you put the formulas in. But bottom line is there's unhealthy indicators in your practice. Right. People don't pay. That is unhealthy. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
That does not require you follow anyone's system. We got to get these people to pay. Now, cancellations, if they're higher than 10%, that is a problem because it's killing your practice.
So what do you do?
Well, there's a 16-step process that we go through that, and it's different.
16-step.
Yeah. or you could just let the cancellation.
You couldn't have gotten any lower than 16 steps.
16 steps. Come on,
Kirk. I'm adding a 17th for you.
Shut up and listen. Is that the first step?
Yes. Okay, bottom line.
16 steps. I feel like we could cut that down. I mean, you're going to lose a lot of millennials.
Okay,
step five.
Okay. All right, let's do one step. Okay, I'll give you one step. All cancellations happen one place. They don't happen at the front. They happen at the chair. Everyone says, fix it up front. Cancellations happen at the chair.
And go into that because.
Okay, if you're an assistant or you're a hygienist, there's two ways to say it. You go up to the front and schedule your appointment.
Okay, yep.
Good luck. That's one way to look. The other one is this. Here, let me explain what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. Just like the doctor explained, the procedure we're going to do next is this. You're also, the fee regarding this is going to be this much. You're going to go up to the front. Sam's going to take care of that. Now, I am also going to schedule 3 hours. Doctor does this procedure at 7 a.m. on Tuesdays. We're going to go up to the front, and we're going to find a 7 a.m. you can expect to leave by 10. You see why I'm telling you what's going to happen?
Yeah.
A lot of times, people throw grenades at the bunker, and the people in front go, good luck with that one.
No, 100%.
And the person at the front goes,
yeah. Or like,
what did you talk about?
An older school thought would have been like, okay, we're going to give them 2 appointments. We're going to give them 2 times. Like, that was a very old school.
Oh, yeah. Anyone says, what works for you, shoot them. Okay? Because that's the...
Take it back.
No, I mean, throw a piece of paper at their head.
Okay.
Like, you don't say what works for you because it screams you don't value what you do.
Right.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
And I agree with the choice thing. Like, patients do like choices, but they're my choices. I do these on vascular surgeons are the best. They go, okay, here's how this works. I do these on Tuesdays at 7 a.m. I need you here at 5. They don't say, I'll cut you evenings, weekends, Saturdays, what works. You don't do that.
Yeah.
Great hairdresser. Well, I don't understand
what's funny, though.
Hairdressers don't get cancellations.
Hairdressers can't have cancellations. They tell you if you do not.
Now, how
you
would you know that?
Have great hair.
Oh, you should
probably
have
put gel in
you.
Should
have seen him.
You should have seen me 2 weeks ago. Gosh.
Oh, yeah?
Look at him.
So do you have a hairdresser?
Yeah, I kind of do now, actually.
Do you use a Groupon?
No, I don't.
Do you have hair insurance?
His hair was his Groupon. So that was the flow 2 weeks ago.
What's that? Oh, my gosh. That was your hair?
That was my hair 2 weeks ago.
That looks way better.
Thank you. It was time. All right.
Finally.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank God.
Did y'all go to that gum Bud Light?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you can bring him in here. It's cool. We've been waiting.
What's that? Makers? Oh, my God. That's a lot. Thank you.
Bud Light. That's the IPA you got?
Oh, wow. Oh, cheers. Oh.
This is
how many? That's my favorite beer. It's two kinds, cold and free.
Yeah.
Here, do you want this one?
No, you take that one.
Thank you so much.
Here, do you want this one?
You're the guest. You're the guest. Give me that one. I bought these. You don't get two. I'll get two.
I'm
we got a koozie. Yeah, let's get some koozies. We got at least brand that shit.
You guys swear on your podcast?
You can.
A couple times.
My mom will not let me swear.
My mom doesn't listen to my podcast, thankfully. Oh, yeah, thank you. My credit card. Appreciate that, guys.
Oh, okay. I got my grandma. My grandma's 91. She watched. I can't swear on my podcast. Okay, can I say frickin'? I can say frickin'.
You
right?
can say frickin'. Okay, so what else do you see that new grads
What's the
struggle
most
with?
Obstacle? What's the hardest obstacle to get rid of as far as not young Dennis getting out of school and trying to work? What's the biggest hurdle for them? Money?
Well, money gets in the way, but the biggest hurdle, honestly, is just deciding what to do. Like, sometimes you just got to decide. If you're going to have kids, you got to be there for them. You know, deciding how you're going to practice, deciding what you want to do, and just do it. Today is as young as the two of you are ever going to be. This is it. You're never going to be 28. Why not get it done?
He's like, 29,
life is
though.
Short. Is he 20? Well, that's why I said 28, because he's 29.
Because he's 29.
He's not going to go back to 28.
Well, he's a smart consultant.
You think this is going to go on forever, but it's not. You're going to be me in no time.
And how old are you?
I'm 47.
Oh, he don't look like it.
Huh?
Botox. Okay, I want to ask you a personal question. In all
please,
seriousness. Okay,
please,
so
yeah.
What would you, when you look back on your career, what would you say some of the big keys or monumental things or things you've done that have attributed your success?
I would tell you this. Like the biggest one I referred to this earlier, is you got to hang around with the right people. You just have to. Like there are some people you should not spend time with. You just shouldn't, because you're like, this is a bad investment of time. Here's what happens when you hang around. Like I tell people this all the time. Like one of my favorite mentors, his name is
Dr. Does that change, by the way?
No. I think you got to do that forever. Every year you got to take
stock.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, do you feel like you
got to find better friends. Well, like one of the things I did, one of my favorite people is Dr. John Cranham, like from the Dawson camp. I flew to a lecture he did in Traverse City, Michigan. And I go, hey, you and I are going to be friends. He's like, I'll decide that. And I studied every word he said. I said, and I wrote out his notes during lecture and I sent it to him. I go, buddy, we're going to be friends. And he's like, dude, this is great. And so now he teaches me. They will also open doors you can never open.
Well, and
they go, you're going to come speak. Now I speak at the Dawson Academy. I get a chance. Like, it's a great place. Having the right friends, you get to see other things that you wouldn't get to do. And they also go, dude, don't do that. That's
yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, your fees need to go up, too. And you're like, Like, they believe more in you sometimes than you do.
Well, and what's neat about that, too, what you do is and ultimately, I feel like we – Payman, you do this really well as well. Is like what you're saying is not only do you find new friends, but you also go get the ones that you want to be like.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, like,
absolutely.
And that's something we talk about a lot of times. Is like, as you're a young dentist and you want to be like somebody, call them.
Call
Don't be
them.
Afraid
them.
Of asking.
Why not
for
be
help?
Like, I want to be like you. What can I? Can you mentor me? Teach me.
Absolutely.
Like, people are more, people good. The smart, really good people want to mentor.
They
teach.
Want to. Like, if you go, hey, look, you're amazing. Can I learn from you? They'll say yes every time. You know, can most, I watch you work?
Some of the best.
Go. Like, here's another one. If you're watching this, watch it.
Oh, pearls.
And, pearl. Here's
Give it to me right here.
Yeah. Okay. Bob Margis, one of the best dentists in the world. Mm-hmm. He's in Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah.
Bob has an open door policy. If you want to see how he works. Go to his, he will fly, you can fly to his office and you can watch him all day. It is worth millions of dollars to watch one of the best dentists in the world. When you watch how he communicates with patients, you're going to go, that is amazing. Like the things that he says, you're like, that is so good. What he does, his crowns are gorgeous and he's fast, but he's amazing. Like you're like, how do you do that? He's going, look, I've learned this hard way. Do this way. Bob opens the door. No one walks through it. One dentist in probably 2 years has said, I wanted to come see you. One, call Bob Margis. Look him up. He doesn't even have a website.
Classic.
He's crazy productive. I actually say to him, I don't even think you're a dentist. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's amazing. Like, it's amazing. And he's an incredible teacher and an even better human being.
I think every dentist needs a
beer?
Non-dentist. I did. But every dentist needs a non-dentist
did you just take
friend.
My beer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got to have other friends.
No. Not just that. Because you guys see things so different than we do.
Right.
And you're like, hey, babe, don't take yourself too seriously. And sometimes you know how we get mad as far as worked up and,
And well, things. And you're bringing up a great point. Because there's a lot of times, if I sat in your op with you, I go, why did you do that? You go, I know. I'll go, that patient walked out. She's got bone loss. And you're going to go, I know.
No,
like,
it is. It's so true.
Or like, dude, she's got bone loss.
We'll say, I didn't want to break too much to her at once.
I know. I'm sorry. Don't apologize to me. She's got bone loss, you know? Like, an observer will tell you, don't do that. You know what I mean? Like, don't do that. Talk to the patient.
What's the best way for a consultant to get paid? Based on production increase or a monthly set fee? Or how do you make a consultant get paid? Or dentists need to know how much to pay fair? And how
that is a great question. And the bottom line
and what's the average right now going for?
For a consultant?
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, you can get a... There's three ways you can do it. You can do it online, uh-huh. which we have a lot of videos. You can do it in a group.
Like modules?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that really work?
Yeah.
If you're disciplined enough.
Yeah.
If you watch videos...
Front office rocks,
well, this is... You're asking the second greatest question right. Because now you got to know yourself. If you know you're not going to watch videos, don't do them.
Yes, don't do
them. If you're not going to study with the group, don't do them. If you know you can't get it done, hire somebody to get it
done. Look, the reality is for me is it's worth flying across the country, staying up in a hotel room and going to a CE course to learn the exact same thing that I can learn online, because I will take more away from that than I will online. And I still feel like the majority of us do that, though, is my point.
Well, I think sometimes you got to sample online to say, is this the kind of stuff that I want?
Like, to me, that a consultant would have way more impact in our practice.
Oh, absolutely. Because they're going to see stuff and they're going to go, oh my gosh, don't do that, you know?
So one of the things we're doing as a practice we're kind of being told, and what I'm trying to do is write down my vision for the practice and my ideal day for the practice.
Yes.
So like I've written my ideal day out. It's like 5 pages long of like what I would expect at huddle for each team member. What do you think about that?
I think it's great.
Good and read to the team and like let them have it.
So let me be your assistant for a second.
Okay.
Okay. I can't read your mind. And if I could, I wouldn't want to. Okay?
Yeah, true.
You got to write it out. Like, the only way I can help you as an assistant
how do
is
you
if
do
you're
that?
Super clear with me. Like,
how do you become super clear with yourself?
Well, you don't know. If you don't write it down, I think it's
you're going to learn lessons over time. Like, so you're 29, and you're how old are you? 30. So you make these mistakes. Now, it's okay to make a mistake once. That's okay. To repeat the mistake is stupid.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, now you're getting, the older you get, the less tolerance you have for some things. Does that make sense? You're going to get to be 40 and you're going to go, no, she's paying full fee and she's coming in on a Tuesday. I don't care if she wants to come in.
Amen. You know what I mean? I get that.
But you're better.
We're young and dumb right now.
Yeah. Well, you're young and dumb. No, you're not. You're
young,
smart.
Dumb, and broke. What's that song? Play that.
There's another young and dumb from a certain Keanu Reeves movie.
We need the edited version. We need the, oh my gosh, you guys.
All right, Doc, let's wrap this thing up. This has been fun. Thank you.
We got to get him in.
I got like 7 more hours of stuff.
I know. Kirk, I'd love to have you back on the show.
So how do people get in touch with you?
So you can find us at two places, actdental.com.
Actdental.com.
And I'm going to have you guys on our podcast.
We'd love to come on, man.
Which is Best Practices Show.
Best practices.
On Facebook. You can see it. And man, you know, it's a great community. Dentistry is the greatest profession. It's an incredible community. You've been seeing all your friends.
Yeah, it's a small community.
But you think about this. This is not an industry that's difficult. These are good people doing the right thing. And you also have the ability to change people's lives. It is the greatest profession ever, you know?
And ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together.
Eagles fly together.
Thank you so much, Kirk.
Hey, Eagles,
my pleasure.
Ducks, we all fly together.
Eagles,
hey,
ducks.
We're smarter, not harder.
Absolutely.
We'll see you next time, everybody.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.